sharp blade of serrated stainless steel. And it's free when you buy any one of these products.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the eighth week of the Steak Knives podcast. I'm Caleb Ferrisi, and today I'm joined by Nick Welch. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm very well. Caleb, how about you?
I'm going well, thanks. I'm going well. Today we'll just have a quick look at the news from the last week or so in regards to the off-season, the trades and all the free agency and the listings and retirements. And we'll also have a look in depth at Hawthorn's list.
Yep.
And just some of the moves that they may need to make following their shock loss to the Dogs on Friday night. But we'll start off with the news that Cade Simpson has re-signed at Carlton for another year. And as he had a very solid season, it's not that unexpected of a move.
Well, he's with players like of his age, there's always a bit of doubt whether they'll keep playing or not. Contracts often year to year, but he's clearly been critical for the development of some of their younger defenders, and we all know how good Sam Doherty's been this year. So a very good move by the Blues.
Most definitely, most definitely. Nick Newman has also re-signed at the Swans for 2 years. And after watching the NFL Grand Final that was live-streamed on YouTube not too long ago, I can definitely see why, because he was by far the best on ground, deserving winner of the best on ground medal. And with a player like Jared McVay coming towards the end of his career, I could definitely see Newman sort of being that sort of... It's sort of like the understudy to McVay in a way. He could definitely take his place in the next few years.
Definitely. And I think, people have been following his NFL form, even though he hasn't played a game in the AFL yet, but he's following his NFL form, knows that he's got a very, very promising future. Sort of plays that left back, sort of long kicking role, but Michael Hibbard, played for Essendon, might play for Melbourne next year, and Suckling and a bit like that. And he was drafted from the VFL, so I think there was a bit of interest from him from other clubs. But, with players like him, drafted in the rookie draft, he wasn't back in... Sydney took the chance on him in the rookie draft. He's grateful for that, so he's always going to stay at Sydney.
Yeah, and that's similar to a guy like Tom Papley, who somehow fell through the rookie draft and now is kicking 4 goals in a final. And especially with a guy like Nick Newman, I think he got a promotion to the senior list as well, which is
as part of the contract.
Which is a great show of faith by both the Swans and him. Stephen Cornelio, has re-signed at GWS for 3 years, and again, it's not that unexpected of a move considering he was almost best on ground in the qualifying final.
With the new collective bargaining agreement changing the range of the salary cap, they're probably very glad that they locked him in now, before the salary, when the salary cap rises heaps. And with him and Dylan Scheel and Callum Ward, that's the centre of their midfield for many years to come, and no doubt they'll probably win multiple premierships together, those grouping of players.
For sure, for sure. Matthew Boyd and Clay Smith both came out after the Friday night win over the Hawks, saying that they'll be at the Dogs in 2017. And both have sort of... There's been rumours that Boyd might not be at the Dogs. There were rumours that Smith might be used as trade bait. But with Smith having a great finals cameo against the Hawks, kicking a couple of goals, and Matthew Boyd having an All-Australian-worthy year, it's a very good move by the Dogs, and it's definitely... There are definitely a couple of players that could definitely add something to the team that's probably looking to push in towards the premierships in the next few years.
Well, Clay Smith's a player, with his injury history, might not even get a game if everyone's fit for the Dogs next year, but he's just the heart and soul player that, premiership teams need. And the Boyd news over the last sort of months have been interesting. We haven't really covered it much, have we? But, with the contract on the table, then the contract yanked, now the contract put on the table... There's also a bit of history of how badly the Dogs have treated Boyd.
Yeah, and I think with the news that Smith might be he is staying at the Dogs in 2017.
Yeah.
But I think with that news, a player like Nathan Provett will probably find himself at a new home, at a new place of residence. Well, maybe not place of residence, but he might find a new home come next season.
Still out of contract. There was still a bit of interest from him from other clubs. And he's got leadership qualities as well.
Exactly. Captain of the Vic Metro and Northern Knights teams in his under-18 years. So,
yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so he offers a lot to other clubs on different levels, which would definitely attract a lot of interest. Martin Gleeson and Jane Laverty both signed two-year extensions at the Dons. And with a player like Michael Hibbard leaving the club, guys like Gleeson are probably really good to get down on deals.
Yeah, Gleeson's sort of a bit like a workman-like depth type that all clubs need, but he'll fill in for a few games here and there with injuries. He's just sort of solid backup. But Essendon will definitely want something out of Jaden Laverde because he's shown a lot of promise without actually, you know, winning a game for him or impacting a game by the scruff of the neck. So I'm not sure if Essendon were actually that sort of keen to keep him with the rumours that he might be even traded out.
There were rumours that St Kilda wanted him not too long ago.
But and, I'm not so sure. You think he's got a heap of talent. I'm not so sure about that either.
Well, I think it's just that when I remember when I was watching the 2014 draft where Jordan DeGoey and Darcy Moore both went to Collingwood, I remember that there were two names thrown up at the pick five for Collingwood, and that was DeGoey and Jaden Laverde. So the reason behind my thinking in that he has a lot of scope for potential is that he is at the forefront of many clubs' minds. They certainly see him, from where I see it, they certainly see a lot of potential in him. But I'm not... Like you, I'm not so sure considering he's sort of been up and down in the last couple of years.
And he did slip on draft day as well. Everyone thought he'd be a top 10 type player, and then he slipped to sort of 19 or 20 or something like that as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of... I really hope, like, just for his sake, I really hope that he can repay the faith that the Bombers have shown him.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. One player at Essendon who was not offered a contract extension was Jason Ashby, who was... He was listed by the Bombers following a year where he was unable to get into the Bombers side, which was more than depleted, to say the least.
Well, you know, with some of the top-up players playing well, and maybe some of them offered a new contract, plus the returning players, it's probably, you know, that's the reason why he's been delisted. And if he can't get a game in that team, I'm not sure what he can offer other AFL clubs next year.
Yeah, I could definitely see him ending up in a state league. So maybe the VFL, or maybe, like, is he Victorian? If he's Victorian, I could see him in the VFL. But
yeah. I'm not sure if he is, but I doubt he's going to find his way elsewhere in the AFL.
Jamie Bennell, Brent College, Patrick McGinnity, Kane Lucas, Alec Waterman, and Corey Adamson were all delisted from the Eagles during the week, and it's not too unexpected considering that they had an early final exit.
Well, they swung the axe only a couple of days after they left the finals, and... you know, we're doing this podcast on the Sunday, not the Friday like usual, so we've got more news to catch up on. And whilst a few of them are, you know, rookie types, you know, project types that and sort of mature age pickups like Kane Lucas, they're not too unexpected, you know, they need a rebuild. But I think College, you know, won a heap of the ball, the waffle, but just couldn't translate it. And Bennell shown a little bit, but just couldn't cement himself in the team. But Patrick McGinnity is an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, I think McGinnity is out of that list. I find him the most unlucky to be delisted. But whilst I think he's the most unlucky, I think he's probably one of the least likely, excluding the guys like Waterman and Adamson, who I doubt will find another club. I can't really see McGinnity finding his way to another AFL club, and he'll probably just seek a return home to the state leagues.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good. I'm guessing he's a good trainer. He's a good, like, a team person. So maybe if someone wants to sort of change their club culture a bit in that. But just from a sort of purely talent perspective, he's already gotten most out of his talent so far. So I don't think he'll offer a club a lot talent-wise.
Yeah, if anything, he'd probably just be a depth player.
Yeah, and just sort of like, you know, to sort of maybe a bit of a guidance for younger players, like as a good trainer, as a good clubman around the club. So maybe, I don't know, if a young team wants to have someone like that around, I suppose he could be picked up, but I doubt it.
Yeah. Farron Ray and Brent Harvey both came out with news during the week. Farron Ray announced his retirement, and Brent Harvey announced that he wants to play on in 2017. And I find both decisions to be rather expected and rather, you know, decisions that don't exactly ring crazy about them. They're certainly something that I could have seen happening.
Well, Ray sort of, it may be a bit disappointing for North because they thought he'd be sort of maybe even premiership backup or could even be in their premiership team if a few players were injured. But now, you know, with their end to the year, they'll just look at that as a list spot that they could have, you know, given games to a youngster or, you know, given a list spot to a youngster. But Brent Harvey's interesting though, because do you think he would have played on if there wasn't interest from clubs already?
If he was I think he would have played on at North.
No, like, do you think he would have announced that he was playing on if he didn't think that there was interest, like, interest, he could feel interest from other clubs?
It's a good question because I think, like, there's bound to be, you know, interest shown as soon as the announcements were made. It's not something where clubs would wait for his decision before saying, "Oh yeah, we're interested."
But a lot of stuff goes on behind the scenes, though, and we don't know for every bit of news that sort of makes its way to the Trade Whispers page. There's 10 bits of news that no one even hears about.
Yeah, and I think I could have seen Harvey announcing that he wants to play on, even if there was no real interest from other clubs, just because he seems to be
a driven person. 30,
yeah, he despite the fact he's 38,
yeah.
He's just one of those guys that even if he doesn't get into your first team straight away, which he probably will at most clubs, he would definitely add something to from a culture perspective.
But you can cross off a lot of clubs though, because a lot of clubs are on their way down, you know, not pushing for finals next year. Won't want to give that list spot to him as opposed to a young developing player. And quite a few of the teams... Like, I saw an interesting statistic today. The four teams left in the prelims are the four, you know, best defensive teams this year. So would a team like them want a player like Brent Harvey, whose weaknesses are in his, like, you know, contested his intensity, his defensive side?
I'm not really sure how... I could definitely see the Bulldogs going after him just because they're a young list that, you know, could use a guy like Harvey as finals experience and as a good clubman. And even St Kilda, who's sort of entering the finals racing, could really use a solid half forward because they've got a lot of youngsters rotating through that department. And I could definitely see someone really like a young list trying to pick him up.
I don't think so. I just think there's enough reasons for all 17 clubs not to pick him up. Because, you know, he takes up a list spot or his defensive work isn't good enough. But at the end of the day, he still is one of the better, you know, kicks and ball movers going around. So don't expect anything. Expect the unexpected, I reckon, with Harvey.
And I think that's a good phrase to use for the whole trade period because who knows what it's going to throw up this year.
Yep.
Ivan Marić is an interesting one. He's had an interest shown from Collingwood, but not in the way that you'd expect. Yeah, they're looking at him as sort of like a ruck coach slash player.
Yeah, and like he would definitely be. He could. I reckon he'll end up somewhere definitely as a ruck coach because, in a weird way, some clubs might not want to miss out on his coaching ability, so they'll give him a rookie list or a backup list, and he'll play sort of reserves VFL injury backup and coach. So, you know, maybe a club with young rucks like Collingwood. You know, Grody's still pretty, but. Brody Grundy, he's still pretty young, you know, as ruck terms go, and if they keep wits, maybe if they don't keep wits, but if they keep wits, they could use the experience of someone like Marić.
Yeah, and I think lots of people remember back to when Collingwood picked up Ben Hudson, who did the exact same thing.
Yeah, definitely, and
it didn't really work out, but a guy
but his
like
coaching
Marić,
was critical, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Marić could definitely offer a lot from a coaching perspective in comparison to a player perspective.
Yeah.
Now, probably one of the biggest pieces of news from the week is that Jake O'Meara announced that he wants to join the Hawks, and it's not that unexpected of a move, considering that they've made the cap room to sign a big, promising young player, and the Hawks fitness department is one of the best going around. So he would definitely fit in at the Hawks. He'd definitely have the potential to get his body right.
Well, I hate to be, you know, that guy and say, you know, I've got sources, I've heard whispers and that, but I have heard that some of his medical testing has been even worse than feared. Like, everyone knows he's got his bad medical history, but, like, even worse than they anticipated. So who knows if he's ever going to be the same player again? I mean, that really depends on how much Hawks pay for him. And, you know, some people are saying their first pick's not enough, so either a player or another club has to get involved somehow. And, you know, Luke Bruce was just rumoured to be up in trade negotiations, but then his manager said dispelled it, so it's probably going to be their first pick and something else, or a third team involved, but are they going to overpay for someone who just hasn't played for 2 years? A month or so ago, I was thinking, you know, he's still got a lot of good football left in him, but I'm leaning towards more, he's just never going to be the same player again.
I think with a guy like Luke Bruce, the rumours that I heard from him came from Wayne Carey on the pre-game show on Saturday night, and I don't see that to be overly reliable, but at the end of the day, for the Gold Coast Suns to go after a guy like Luke Bruce would be a very good move for them, considering that their small forward department probably needs a bit of work.
Maybe the Hawks have something else planned with their first round pick, like, you know, Tom Mitchell or something. So, and they don't want to trade next year's first pick in case they slide down the ladder. So maybe they're offering up Luke Bruce like a direct swap for O'Meara. That's the only explanation I can think of.
Yeah, would Luke Bruce be enough to get a straight swap done?
With the medical testing, that maybe. I mean, and Luke Bruce is an absolute jet, one of the best small forwards going around. So there's a lot to talk about with O'Meara, and, you know, negotiations could twist any way. There's a lot to play out. It could twist any way.
He really is just... anything could happen. Anything could happen. It's just that sort of trade period this season.
Yeah.
Caleb Marchbank came out and addressed the rumours that we're all expecting to hear, is that he wants to join Carlton. And I can definitely see it getting done. I'd be very surprised if it didn't get done in the end.
Well, there's talk that he's been... had a foot back in Melbourne ever since he got drafted, and, you know, rumours that he was even negotiating a deal to get back to Carlton partway through the year. And he left that he announced that he was leaving even before GWS the season was done, though. So, that probably all adds up. They'll get a deal done. They've done deals, you know, in each of the last couple of years, you know, back 2 years ago with Jackson, last year with all the fringe players, like, you know, your Jed Lamb, Phillips, Plowman. They've got a deal done.
Yeah, the Stephen Silvani connection will 99% for sure get a deal done.
Yeah.
And the final piece of news is a very recent one, is that Jesse Hogan from Melbourne has been rumoured to be on West Coast radar. Now, it's been widely touted that he might be moving to Freo at the end of his contract. But with players like Lysett and Nat Nui, both Ruckman, I know, but they both have suffered long-term injuries, and Nat Nui is unlikely to play much of 2017. Lysett has undergone surgery. You never know. It could happen.
Yeah, and we all know, like, it was more of a talking point at the beginning of this year before sort of more rumours came to the fore. But there was heaps of talk about a player who wasn't out of contract this year, but next year. Even if he doesn't get traded at the end of this off-season, which, you know, anything's possible. And what if he doesn't re-sign at all next year, and he enters next year out of contract? The rumours are going to be flying thick and fast. I mean, Melbourne are just going to be having to work day and night to re-sign him, and he's definitely got an eye on Western Australia. I mean, why else would it be in the news all the time? So it's just, and the other thing is his form. Like, you know, he started off so promising, but probably his last 6 to 8 weeks were a little disappointing for Melbourne. So he might want to, you know, re-sign at Melbourne or look to a trade before, in case he risks, you know, another bad patch of form at the beginning of next year and people start asking questions.
Mm. There are a lot of factors to take in this deal. And I think if I was to make a prediction on what could happen, I could see him staying, really.
No, I reckon he's already off to Western Australia. But
it's just, if he were to move, I reckon he's just gonna pull a surprise and stay. But should he move, I would see him going to Freo, just because the Eagles have a couple of solid key forwards already in Kennedy and Darling.
Yeah.
But at the end of but like we've said a couple of times already, expect the unexpected.
Expect the unexpected.
We'll move on to the next segment now. We'll have a look at Hawthorn's list, and they have had a very good season despite losing the two finals and going out in straight sets. And many people are speculating this season could be their last hurrah, considering lots of players are reaching their 30s. But a lot of players, including the ones that took pay cuts in Gibson, Hodge, and Burgoyne, they can definitely add or offer a lot more in the next few years than most people might think.
Well, this is the $64,000 question. Do they reinvest in youth, or do they double down their strategy like Geelong have done this year and raid mature age talent to sort of kickstart another premiership contending year? I mean, with possibly, you know, Joe Rufford returning next year, we all wish him well, and hopefully he recovers.
Yeah.
That could be a factor.
Yeah, and I think considering that a guy like Jonathan Stegler, who is going to be out for most of 2017, just like Nat Nui.
Yeah.
I could see the Hawks. Well, it's a hard one to pick, really. I was gonna make a prediction, but it's a hard one to pick.
All indications point to them, you know, doing the Geelong strategy and doubling down. if they go hard after Tom Mitchell, Jago O'Meara and Ty Vickery as a free agent, that's sort of recommitting to a premiership tilt next year. And if you look through their draft history, they've actually traded out a lot of their sort of top 20 picks, you know, because other clubs have sort of overvalued them for more mature talent. I mean, you know, go right back to how they traded their first-round pick and then the Franklin compensation pick for Ben McAvoy.
And that's worked out very well for them.
That's worked out very well for them. But at the end of the day, it means that they haven't got the top 15, top 20 young talent. Like, you know, a player who was a top draft pick 3 or 4 years ago. So if they're committing youth, they've just got to accept that they're sliding down over the next few years. If they're doubling down, you know, they've got to have one last tilt before maybe 5 years in the doldrums because they just haven't got the young talent.
Mm. They do have a few youngish players who seem to have a decent future ahead of them. James Sicily is a pretty obvious one. Ooh. He's sort of here and there still, though.
I'm not sold on his talent at all. I mean, you're a fan of him, but nah, I just reckon different.
I didn't say I was a fan of him. I think that in similarity to Jaden Laverty, he has a rather large scope of potential.
Nah. He's already 20. He's not young. I don't think he's got much flash about him. He's just kicked a few goals this year, but it's in a good system. And if Hawthorn are a worse team next year or in 2 years' time than they are this year, even being a bit older, I don't think he's got much future ahead of him. But it's just like even players who are promising, like, you know, Dan Howe and that, you know, as a late draft pick, they're promising in relation to being a late draft pick. They just don't have the blue chip top 10 draft pick talent in front of them. So, you know, players like Liam Shields are the future of the midfield, but they've, as soon as players like Mitchell, Lewis, Burgoyne and Hodge drop off, you got Shields and, you know, the question mark of recruiting talent from other clubs.
They do have a couple of solid young players who were, well, one of them wasn't in the top five, but had he not injured his knee, he would have been in the top five. Ryan Burton, now he's not a midfielder.
Yeah.
But he can play at either end. And if he can get his body right, I know he did his ACL in his under 18 year, and in the qualifying final, I think he injured his calf. But if he can get his body right, he could be a very important player for the Hawks.
Well, but that's the thing, though. He's probably one of the more earlier draft picks that they've taken over the last 5 years. He's definitely a jet, but they just don't have enough of them to fill a team of 22. Once you're 30, 28, 29, 30-plus players, you know, have another year of age behind them, you know, you'll go a year older. So it's a very... Like, it might have worked for Geelong this year, this doubling down strategy, but it works because you're recruiting Patrick Dangerfield. Tom Mitchell isn't Patrick Dangerfield if they go after Tom Mitchell. I mean, he's a very good player, but he's alongside, you know, 3 or 4 gun midfielders at Sydney, and he's not Patrick Dangerfield. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do get what you mean. It's just, if they were to go all out and sort of just, you know, go big or go home with the signings of Mitchell,
they almost have to go bigger. They almost have to go even bigger. They have a, you know, with these pay cuts, they have a war chest. Like, throw $1 million at you know, Dustin Martin or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Tom Mitchell and an injured Jago O'Meara is enough to address their slight.
Yeah, it's certainly an issue that needs to be addressed in more than the midfielding department, I think.
Yeah.
But there are a few players that I've got on the list here that I could see a future for, but on the other hand, I know they could be pushed out of the side. There's a couple here that people think, oh, yeah, he's going to stay, oh, yeah, he's going to go. But I'll chuck these names up and I'll get your opinion from them, Nick. Caden Brand, where do you see him? Do you reckon he's in the Hawks' best 22 next season?
He could be. I mean, but he only played a handful of games, so it's actually a bit hard to judge his talent, small sample space.
I could see, considering he's a rather young player and considering that Hawthorn probably don't have that... Well, they do have a good defensive department, Fawley and Gibson. But I think that in order to get him to sort of reach his maximum potential, I know he's a bit older now, he was a draft pick a few years ago, but in order for him to try and get to his maximum potential, they should probably play him a little bit more than they might intend on.
And they might have to if Gibson, you know, forms declines and all that.
Yeah. Will Langford, what do you think? Do you think he'll be at Hawks next season?
Some other club might take a punt in him because of that finals form for a couple of years ago, but if he hasn't cemented himself in the team now, you don't think there's really much of a great future for him, do you?
No, I mean, you would think after such a great finals campaign in 2014 that he'd actually, you know, have a spot cemented in that first 22, in that best 22, but he's just been pushed out of the side constantly.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Who else have I got? I've got Matt Spanger. What do you think of him?
He's probably on his way out. He's solid depth, but as soon as these sort of mature age recruit depth players start getting injured, they lose their relative value because they need to get themselves fit again, and then once they get themselves fit, they need to push for selection, and then, you know, all of a sudden, a season on the sidelines means that there's someone younger pushing for their place, and they find they're on their way out. So it's not true he's a cult hero and he's Jesus and all that. Yeah, couldn't even be on his way out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he was pushed out of the team. Angus Litherland is an interesting one. What do you think of him?
Well, he's sort of a defender who can play both tall and small, and he almost had a better year last year, a year younger than he did this year. So they'll be very hopeful that he keeps progressing, but he sort of found his way in the team early in the year and sort of lost his place and didn't really come back. So they'll be very hopeful for him next year. But with this sort of regression this year, you can't bank on him improving again significantly next year.
Yeah, and I'll finish off on the last one, a player that some people may have forgotten. I know lots of people wouldn't have, but I certainly sort of lost interest in him over the season when he wasn't in the first team and he was stuck in the VFL. Jonathan O'Rourke.
Yeah, I mean, number three pick, I think it was. You know, GWS, big signing, sort of outside midfielder, and they'd be very disappointed with him. They would have wanted him to cement a place in the team, and when players like Brad Hill and Billy Hartung are getting games ahead of you and both, you know, I don't really think much of both of them. It's a bit disappointing, isn't it?
It is very. Considering that Hartung himself is an outside midfielder with a lot of pace, and Brad Hill is probably on the outer, and a guy like O'Rourke could probably play inside midfield.
Inside and outside.
Oh, a bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think if anything, I could see O'Rourke staying. That's probably what's going to happen. But he's just got to really get his spot in that Hawthorn midfield. He's got to have a good run of form, and he's got to get I think he's had a couple of injuries, but whilst he has to hit some form, I think the more the Hawks actually play him, the better off he will be in the future, in similarity to the way the Hawks might approach Caden Brand.
And with Hill heading home possibly this year, there's definitely the spot in this team for him as a result.
Yeah, especially like he could push. You could probably push O'Rourke onto that wing spot, but does he have the same sort of electric pace and breakout sort of ability that Brad Hill has? I know he hasn't really shown that.
Not really, but he's a bit harder than Hill, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got that inside midfield ability. Thank you guys for listening to our AFL Steak Knives podcast. We'll be doing our AFL Women's one next. Be sure to listen into that. Hopefully you've gotten something out of this week's Hawthorn list analysis and you've caught up on the weekly news. Thanks again, Nick, for joining us.
Thank you, Caelan, for hosting.
No problem. You guys take care.